Political Education Research. This is episode 74 and focuses on Manolis Adamansky and colleagues' pedagogical case about John. This is an audio version of the PEPRN blog that can be found at www.peprn.com. As only two chapters remain after this one in Cathy Armour's pedagogical case, I am seeking your opinions on where to go next with the podcast. Please visit the PEPRN site and let me know your choice on the talk board page. Thanks, and on with the show. The boy who used to. Sometimes we make our own decisions and leave pursuits of our past in the past. For example, when we end our competitive playing days or sell a bike. At other times, these decisions are made for us by significant others. For example, the child that leaves his or her homework undone and plays outside is frowned upon and told to take greater responsibility for his or her life. We discourage play, and yet we also understand the importance of physical activity. The danger, as this week's pedagogical case shows, is that desire to play and be active becomes something that we used to do. John. John used to play football. He also used to play basketball and swimming and karate. But it doesn't seem that there is time for that now. Not that he would choose to swim again because the training was so boring. He wouldn't do karate again either, both because the new uniform every year was too expensive for his parents to buy and because he never felt he had the right level ability to go very far. Still, at least he could say that he used to do it. Now there just doesn't seem to be time to do any of this, regardless of cost. Like many 15-year-old Greek children, John either spends his time at school working on his studies or at home with his tutor working on his studies. It's not that the family, one that lives quite comfortably, but not one with a lot to spare, doesn't believe that physical activity is vital. It's just that they have very little leisure time. Both John's parents work long hours, and John is always studying. And with all this activity, they are all often tired at the end of the day. It's not that John wants to be Mr. Used to, but what choice does he have? He would prefer to go for a walk, play football or basketball with his friends, or just hang out. But where? There's nowhere in his neighbourhood to play, and anyway, his parents don't think it's safe. He could go to school and play basketball at the weekends, and he occasionally does, but with all his extra study, he doesn't have time. Instead, he plays PC games, surfs the internet, or watches TV. John's diet isn't great either. His mum, after a long day at work and then all her household chores, doesn't often have the time to plan ahead in terms of meals for the family. Consequently, they eat a lot of convenience food. In John's case, he eats particularly badly. He only eats some foods and would live exclusively on pasta, pizza and milkshakes if he could. He often eats a lot in one meal, but then very little, unless what he is offered is delicious. He rarely has breakfast at home, preferring a croissant or a donut at school. He often lives with intense feelings of hunger until he can find something tasty and delicious. When he finds this, for example a box of cookies, he will eat these until he has satisfied his hunger. Unsurprisingly, John is putting on weight, but he is also experiencing frequent headaches. In addition, his last health check showed that his blood cholesterol levels are above the normal range. His family have decided to consult a team of specialists on health, physical activity and nutrition. Let's look at the pedagogical case in more detail. The benefits of regular exercise on health are numerous, but while John's parents, and John himself even, are aware of this, they all sit alongside a suggested 65% of European citizens who are not physically active enough. Taking a sport and exercise psychology perspective, Adamakis and colleagues argue that it's time to look at the factors that potentially lie behind this from a social cognitive perspective, i.e. one influenced by social interactions, experiences and outside media influences, rather than a mechanistic behavioural one, i.e. cause and effect. Adamakis and colleagues suggest that John displays low motivation and low levels of interest in physical activity. Drawing on self-determination theory, they suggest that his lack of interest and self-motivation could be as a consequence of an unfulfilled need for autonomy, competence and relatedness. In other words, John needs to feel that he has choices, he can do it, which he doesn't feel in karate, and that it is relevant to him. Positive changes in all of these areas might help John to sustain his participation in a sport or exercise activity of his choice. Choice is important in physical activity, and the chance to express personal opinions, engage in decision-making processes, and set goals are ways of providing choice. John, however, doesn't always have choice, and while he might want to spend more time away from his studies, his parents don't share his opinion. They are key supporters of his academic achievements, but they pay little attention to health behaviours. Consequently, John is learning that certain things are valued, i.e. work, and certain things aren't, i.e. physical activity, all of which has the very real potential to impact on his future drive to be physically active. One of the consequences of John's lifestyle has been the accumulation of excess body weight, which, in turn, makes participation in sport and exercise programs increasingly difficult. Given his age, and looking through a physical activity lens, it has been shown to be important that John needs to identify himself as someone who eats well and exercises before the barriers inherent in adulthood, i.e. reduced leisure time, increased career concerns and other barriers, may result in further barriers to developing a healthy lifestyle. While John has been active in the past, he has difficulty self-identifying as an exercise schematic person, i.e. one who rates exercise behaviour as critical for his self-image. While his sedentariness is not fixed, he should make changes while he can. This, however, is made more difficult because of his immaturity and inability to control large periods of his daily activity. It is therefore important that the whole family are helped to understand the advantages of physical activity. They are driven by a desire for high academic achievement, and yet unaware of the links that are being made between frequent aerobic exercise and high levels of school achievement. Adamakis and colleagues suggest that a multidimensional intervention could be used to help John and his family. An educational program could explain the ways in which the human system adapts to exercise, how cardiovascular risk factors could be reversed, and evidence that increased physical activity can ameliorate a wide range of chronic health problems. By reconnecting John to the sporting environment, he can learn to take responsibility for his own behavior. By reinforcing his sense of autonomy, by offering him choice, etc., and helping him to find time to play with his friends, exercise might cease to be a chore, both in and out of school, and something John wants to be engaged in. Increased physical activity in everyday life, such as active travel, which he does because he walks to school, and an environment that creates numerous opportunities to be active, can all help. That said, it is not the sole responsibility of the family, and school can provide a unique environment for tailoring children's food choices. Nutritionally, Adamakis and colleagues argue, there are significant steps that John and his family could take to help. Teachers may influence children's eating behaviours and can act as role models in, for example, terms of fruit and vegetable consumption. Schools are also well positioned to provide important nutritional information, as well as being places where children can be exposed to new tastes and foods, as well as healthy eating. Misconceptions that eating healthily means eating bland food can also be challenged, and the idea that small changes are needed rather than dramatic, unsustainable ones can also be supported. The family will need to be involved if they are going to help John, and while it is often difficult to acknowledge the level of their contribution to nutrition and physical activity issues, they need support in understanding this. They need to see that John's weight and diet present some health concerns, but they also need help to make changes themselves. Strategies like eating meals together as a family, ensuring vegetables are served as part of most meals, limiting the consumption of ready-to-eat or convenience foods, and promoting the preparation and cooking of healthy meals have all been shown to be effective. It is evident that while John might still like to play football or basketball, he has drifted away from these activities. Pedagogically, Adamakis and colleagues suggest that there is a need to move away from the traditional coaching orientation to physical education and focus instead on one that values teaching. The authors argue that those with a coaching orientation focus primarily on motor skills and sport perfectionism, while those with a teaching orientation help students to read their physical environment and needs and react to these readings appropriately. By emphasising the non-competitive aspects of sport activities and the social aspects, young people like John are more inclined to become and remain involved. He is not excluded and doesn't feel that his performance is holding him back. After all, he isn't an athlete and shouldn't be treated as one. Physical education cannot be the only activity that promotes physical activity. It's an education system, both at home and school, that continues to see the superiority of human intelligence over the inferiority of the body continue to abandon physical activity at a time when exams need to be passed and careers built. We need to work hard to enhance health and well-being, but professional educators must also go beyond the reductionist logic of energy intake, energy consumption, and better understand how the forms that the energy takes affect our health. So in concluding, how does this discussion relate to you, your sessions and your context? Did it make you think or consider something? I'd love to hear your thoughts and so would others, so please share at www.peprn.com. Thanks for listening and see you next week for the next Pepin podcast, where I will discuss Jean Limon and colleagues' pedagogical case about Marianne. Acknowledgements. I would like to thank Vicky Goodyear for her work behind the scene as copy editor. Her help certainly forms a vital part of the production of this podcast and in getting it out on time and in a semblance of coherence. However, it is important to note that any mistakes that remain are mine. Thank you.